The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam. Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about crying for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى
كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلا كربلا.
Today, Wednesday, is the 26th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we listen to verse 32. Of chapter Al-Fatir.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير.
Then we caused to inherit the book those we have chosen of our servants, and among them is he who wrongs himself, and among them is he who is moderate, and among them is he who is foremost in good deeds by permission of Allah. That inheritance is what is the great bounty.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
There is a great deal of traditions narrated from Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, in all of which the Quranic phrase, the elected servants of Allah, has been rendered into the Immaculate Imams. These narrations are the statement of the clear and first grade expansions of the case, and they do not hinder that the scholars and learned ones of the Ummah, and those martyrs and righteous ones who tried hard in the way of protecting this heavenly book. We shall the same faith with the skies and the earth. What do we have in this part? This is today's special. Just as we believe in the oneness of Allah, the Prophet of the Holy Prophet, and the wilaya or mastership of Imam Ali, peace be upon them, we have faith in all that Allah has created in the skies and on the earth. We believe that the earth and the skies also weep over the hardships that were experienced by the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Ali, while passing through Karbala, stopped at the place where Hussein was going to be buried and said, "Here Hussein and his comrades will be slain, and the heavens and the earth shall weep over them."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In this regard, you find that shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is highly recommended. With the downfall of the Umayyad dynasty, you find that this situation was no longer so dense and terse and very critical. And at that time, you find that the infallible Imams, Imam Muhammad the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir al-Islam and the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq al-Islam recommended people and urged the people to go on a pilgrimage to Karbala in order to visit the tomb of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam and the rest of the Ashura martyrs over there. Now, we find that in all cases, when people enter Karbala and at the same time when people enter Imam al-Hussein's holy shrine, We find that, and we've noticed that people burst into tears. And this is a kind of psychological sympathy that people show and feel in view of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This kind of sympathy and this kind of shedding tears is highly recommended. And, I mean, it has several psychological effects, both on the person who expresses, who experiences this feeling, and also on the people who are around. For younger generations, for example, for children, it shows the elders' sympathy, and they take lessons from the reaction when they view the tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or when they enter the city of Karbala. This is one point. And for the elders, I mean, for those people who experience it, it shows that, I mean, there are still believers in Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and they do still believe in the teachings, in the careers, in the character, and in the personality of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his followers. And this kind of shedding tears is usually followed by expressing desires and praying for those people who have had the desire of attending those sacred places, but for any reason they haven't been able to afford.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
The history and philosophy of Azal Hussein. When the prisoners were finally freed by Yazid, they asked for an opportunity to have rites of remembrance in Damascus. A house was made available to them, and Azal Hussein went on for over a week. Just as Hazrat Musa had been raised in the palace of the enemy of Allah, Lady Zainab laid the foundation of Azal Hussein in the very capital of his murder. On their return to Medina, Lady Zainab took over the leadership of Azal Hussein in the city of the Holy Prophet. This aroused such strong emotions in the people and such a revulsion against the oppressor that the governor wrote to Yazid to have Lady Zainab exiled from Medina. This was done in the beginning of 62 AH. Lady Zainab, peace be upon her, died shortly afterwards.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
The pride felt by Ahlul Bayt at their Shia, that share in their happiness and grief. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, Surely Allah has chosen for us followers and Shias who assist us and are happy at our happiness and are sad at our sadness. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has referred to a natural and logical human phenomenon. When the one you hold dearer than you is happy, you rejoice. When he is in hardship or grief or dies, you will not be happy, nor will you remain indifferent. The human characteristic inside you will automatically plunge you in the depth of grief. Thus, in light of Imam Ali's words, who are the ones that commemorate the grief of Ahlul Bayt, and who are those that resent and oppose it? Similarly, when we read that Imam Reza once said, Ibn Shabib, O son of Shabib, if it makes you happy and you desire to be with us in the elevated ranks of paradise, then be sad at our grief and happy at our happiness. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Peace and salutations upon you, O Master of Martyrs, Ya Sayyid al-Shuhada. We talked about benefiting from Ziyarat Ashura. Islam is the religion of submission. I am submitting to God. Therefore, I have intense joy, intense ladha that I am His abd. Once a person becomes an abd of Allah, it says you start to become like God. You become godly. Some of the divine powers reach you, as some of the traditions have. أَطِعْنِي فِي مَا أَمَرْتُكَ أَجْعَلُكَ تَقُولُ لَشَيْءٍ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Follow me, Allah says in this tradition, in what I have commanded you, and you will become like me. When you say, be, it is. Or in other traditions, Allah says in these traditions, Abdi ati'ni aj'aluka mathali or mithli. Follow me and obey me and I will make you like me. Meaning that some of those divine powers that God has, you will be given. This is the other side of ubudiyat. This is the other side of maqam al-mahmud. That we talk about, you do things for a purpose. You do it to be a servant of Allah. But know that when you're a slave of Allah, it's not like being a servant of a human or servant of somebody else. When you became a servant of Allah, you become very powerful and you get the divine powers of Allah. And you begin to enjoy life truly through bala, through lizzat, through calamity, through joy. All of it doesn't matter for you because you're a slave of God and you're just following and submitting to Him. And you're very happy because you're fulfilling the entire purpose of why you're created.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayers and morning gatherings. Fi amanillah.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about rashness and haste. One who rushes madly after inordinate desire runs the risk of encountering destruction and death.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for our esteemed listeners a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith has been narrated regarding the sign of a penitent person, meaning the attribute or the quality of a person who is ta'ib and who is penitent and who has repented from his sins. Imam Ali said the following, describing the penitent ones. They planted the trees of their sins before their eyes and hearts and watered them with the water of remorse. Thus they produced safety for them and left them with contentment and dignity. In a similar tradition, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam has been narrated to have said, place us, meaning, O God, place us among those who extinguish the fire of desires by shedding the water of repentance. So here in this beautiful supplication, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam compares the base and carnal desires to fire. And he compares repentance with a water which is poured upon this fire and extinguishes it. Just as water, when poured upon fire, extinguishes it, when someone makes repentance and cries and weeps out of the fear of God and out of remorse for what he has done, the fire of his desires are extinguished and they terminate. In continuation, the Imam says, and wash the plates of ignorance with the purity of the water of life. So the ignorance that the person had, and because of which he committed sins, the water of life, the water of knowledge, and the water of this remorse that he has for his sins, it erases this away and it cleans it away. And the ignorance which was in him is removed. Finally, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is reported to have said, there are four signs to the penitent person. Sincerity in his work for the sake of Allah, that's one. Secondly, avoiding misdeeds. Three, adhering to what is right. And finally, eagerness for what is good. So, if these four signs are found in a person, then one can understand that the person is truly penitent and remorseful for what he has done. So, when we look at these three hadiths all together, we see that the signs of the penitent person are can be categorized into two basic categories. One is with respect to the things he did before, his sins, and the other is with respect to his good deeds, which he hopes to perform in the future. Right? With respect to the evil deeds that he committed in the past, his attitude is negative, and with respect to those which he wants to perform in the future, his attitude is positive, and he's enthusiastic and eager for doing them. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the signs of a penitent person in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وعجل وعجل فرج.
Welcome back again, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us again. Okay, let's continue, inshallah, our discussions on how to stop at the end of the words or at the end of the verses. Alhamdulillah, we finished. We said one of the rules that whenever a word ends in Tanween Fatha, you see an Elif after that Tanween Fatha. That means that you got to change this Tanween Fatha to an Elif Mad. Okay, for example, Hisaban changes to
Hisaba,
Turaban, Turaba, Wahajan, Wahaja. Go to the next surah.
One question.
Yeah.
That like small waves.
Yeah, that baby wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That tells you, yeah, that will be changed to sukun.
So,
we will not pay attention to that one. Because we change the harakat to sukun. So if it has it is sakin, so it does not mean that we should prolong it. How can you prolong a sakin letter?
Uh-huh. They will be pronounced when we want to join.
Yeah, when, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like this. من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة. Like this. خلقه من. And stretch.
Two counts.
Ooh sound. Two counts. That's it. So yes. Go to Surah Mutaffifin, page 587. 587. Are you there? For what? 587. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. So, look, the ayah ends in noon.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The first ayah. What does the noon have on the top?
Fatha.
Fatha. Fatha will be changed to?
Saki.
Sukun. Okay? So it means noon mutaharrik, the letter which is mutaharrik will be changed to a sakin letter. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Okay, look at Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It ends in meem. Meem has a kasra.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Yes. You cannot, if you recite this, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wailul lil. This is wrong.
Can we join Bismillah with the surah?
Yeah. This Bismillah is a part of the first ayah. We believe, okay? So, Wailul lil mutaffifin.
ويل للمطففين.
I will read the ayah with the harakat. You make it a second letter, okay?
Okay.
الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون.
الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون.
أحسنت.
وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون.
وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون.
أحسن.
ألا يظن
No, you gotta change it to sukun.
يظن. ألا يظن.
Yes. Yeah, just an idgham is there, yes? Idgham. Yes. An idgham, I mean ghunna is there, okay? ألا
يظن.
That's it.
ألا.
Right? ألا يظن, okay? Now.
ألا يظن أولئك.
ألا يظن أولئك.
أحسن أولئك. Just change the حركة to sukun. That's easy.
ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون.
ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون.
Okay. Ali Nas's battery just ran out of charge. Battery
overcharged.
Right?
Overcharged.
No, it have not.
Okay.
Stress it.
Yeah, ليوم.
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 أحسن ليوم.
عظيم.
عظيم.
ليوم. عظيم.
ليوم. عظيم.
Okay, ليوم عظيم. أحسن.
يوم يقوم الناس.
يوم يقوم الناس.
يوم يقوم الناس لرب.
يوم يقوم الناس لرب.
قلقلة.
Yes.
لرب.
Copy paste.
لرب.
Yeah, copy paste.
يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين.
يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين.
Okay. That's it. No. Easy.
Yes.
قل هو الله أحد.
قل هو الله أحد.
أحسن.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
إنا أعطيناك الكوثر.
إنا أعطيناك الكوثر.
Very easy, alhamdulillah. Okay, that's it, rule number 3. No problem?
No.
Was it difficult?
No.
Very difficult. Okay. So, the next rule is a special rule on... just remember words ending in sukun, okay? What did we say? If they have sukun.
Sakin.
If they have sukun,
no sakin letter.
No changes. No, yes? Changes. The same. For example, one har. Fasalli li rabbika one har. Ends in sukun. Ra has a sukun on the top. So no changes. One har. Do not say one hara. One
I have
hare,
a question.
Or change it to another sukun.
I have a
Doesn't
question.
Doesn't mean anything. Okay?
If there's a... If at the end of the surah there's no verse to connect with,
mm-hmm.
all the verses that have the last verse always end with sakin? All the end of the surahs?
No.
Because you cannot connect.
No, it can have any harakat.
You cannot connect harakat, to any other
harakat,
verse.
No. If it is the last ayah, it does not mean that it should end in sukun. No, that is the harakat of that. So words in Arabic, they can have... Harakat, they can have like.
So it's for connecting to the next surah.
No. Even
because
if there
I
is no
have
other.
Heard some Qaris like they say.
No. It is an Arabic is like this. Okay, Arabic.
Lam yalid wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahadun bismillah.
Ahadun no. Ahadun bismillah. Yes. No. So, you mean this? that if the ayah is the last ayah of a surah, so it should end in sukun?
Yes.
No, it doesn't Why? Have that meaning. That doesn't make sense, okay? The Arabic words are not like this, okay? That they should end in sukun. They can have different form. Inshallah, in Arabic literature, you will study this, okay? In Sarf and Nahu, you'll study this, okay? That Arabic words and can have different harakat. Or even sakin, okay?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So if, for example, an ayah ends with a word having harakat fatha on the top, so based on Arabic literature, Arabic grammar, okay? So there is a reason for that. It doesn't mean, Fawad, that it is the last ayah, it must end in sukun. No. Okay? Understood? وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ It is the last...
Bismillah.
Okay?
Yes.
Understood? But if you stop ya, you can change it to sukun. This is the rule. Okay? But it does not mean that by its nature it has to be in sukun.
If it's the last surah of Quran, then what will you do?
It doesn't matter.
You don't have any next surah to recite.
No, it doesn't. No, it's not about connect. It is not about because of any other surah. The harakat is not because of any other surah that you have to connect, so you should pronounce the harakat. Yeah, no.
If it is like this, what we will do with the last surah of Quran? We don't have any other surah after it.
It doesn't mean that, Fawad, okay? It is because the word itself has that harakat. It is the harakat of that word. Not because of another surah.
So make it sakin.
Why?
No. If you make it sakin, it doesn't give that meaning.
Yes.
Oh,
Based on grammar, it has.
Yeah.
For example, in Arabic literature or in Arabic grammar, we have this long discussion.
So if you stop on a word, doesn't it change its meaning?
No. For example, in stop in sukun.
Like waylul lilmutaffifin.
Uh huh.
Doesn't it change its meaning?
No. If you say mutaffifine, mutaffifino, mutaffifinan, mutaffifinunnin, that changes the meaning.
So here is mutaffifina.
Yeah, if you say mutaffifina, that's correct. That's correct.
The meaning is correct.
No, the meaning is correct. Look, Allah Almighty has told us to recite this way.
Yes.
So if He has told us to recite this way, so it means it doesn't change the meaning.
Yes.
Okay. Understood? Does it make sense or no? That's it. Allah has told us. We say, okay. That's it. So, nice question, Fawad. But remember that the harakat is not because of any other ayah at the end, okay? Okay? Any other ayah that comes after that. It has fatha because it is just because we want to join it. When we want to join it, we should read it with fatha, with kasra, with dhamma. No. The kasra, dhamma, or fatha, tanwin kasra, tanwin dhamma, they are, each of them is like literally for
you the, end the surah,
the,
wor- you
the
end
words,
an ayah,
it's the words nature, okay? That
you end in verse kasra, with joining or ending. You can just put sukun or just join it to the other ayah.
You have two options, yes.
So?
No, I told you. If you change it to any other harakat, you change the meaning. So the way the tajweed rule says, you have to apply the rule, okay? If you just do not apply the rule, you have your own rule and the meaning changes and you will not get the point. Okay, Fawad? Do you get it or no? If the tajweed rule says, change it to sukun, you got to change it to sukun, not to any other harakat. If the tajweed tells you, do not change it to sukun, so do not change it to sukun.
Finished.
Finished. That's it.
Tajweed is tajweed.
Tajweed is tajweed.
Yes.
And tajweed is not just something, okay, that so scholars have gathered, okay, and made some rules, generated some rules. No. It is the way Prophet ﷺ was reciting the Quran Karim, and that is the way Allah Almighty has told the Prophet. Okay, وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This is what the Prophet has received from Allah Almighty. Okay, yes. This recitation. You got it, Fawad?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Let's recite a salawat for Fawad having understood this.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad.
Judge a man by his questions rather than his answers.
Okay. Inshallah, I think we gotta end this session here and continue the discussions, okay? In the next session. Is that okay?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and we'll get back in the next session.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Your horse returns to our camp riderless.
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين. زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام, زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان.
Brothers and sisters, in this episode, we will start discussing this part of زيارة العاشوراء. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة. May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. And may Allah distance from His mercy the progeny of Umayyah altogether. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ بْنَ مَرْجَانَهُ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ عُمَرَ بْنَ سَعْدٍ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ شِمْرَهُ. May Allah distance from His mercy the product of Marjana, and may Allah distance from His mercy Umar ibn Sa'd. May Allah distance from His mercy Shimr, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسْرَجَتْ وَأَلْجَمَتْ وَتَنَقَّبَتْ لِقِتَالِكَ. May Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the saddles of their horses, the reins, and took off to combat with you. So at first, let us discuss with the beginning part. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ. May Allah distance the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan from His mercy. Here, in this part of Ziyaratul Ashura, we are taught to curse specific groups of people who, as the history tells us, played fundamental roles in oppressing the Ahlul Bayt and those guardians of religion. And they were the ones who were directly carrying out the massacres that even the words and language fail to describe. In this part, we curse them. More accurately speaking, we seek their distance from divine mercy. And this is nothing but declaring our harmony with Allah Himself, because He is the one who curses such people in the Holy Quran. In this part, of course, we have discussed the exact definition of La'an and difference between Sab and La'an in the episodes of last year, but let us have a review on what we have discussed so far and maybe discuss them in more details. We'll be back after a short break.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, about the definition of La'an, we must say that a majority of the lexicographers define the word La'an as to distance or expel. Zumakhshari, in his lexicon, says, لَعَنَهُ أَهْلُهُ يَعْنِي طَرَدُوهُ وَأَبْعَدُوهُ. His family expelled and banished him. This is how he defines the word لَعْن. Indeed, Allah was the first one who did his لَعْن on Iblis and Satan, because he expelled him from paradise and he was banished from the neighborhood of the angels. So, in our religion, when we are advised to do La'an, it means we are advised to pray to Allah to distance from His mercy those who deserve to be distanced. So this is the true meaning of La'an. Now that we know the definition of La'an, since we usually translate the word La'an in English language as curse, we will consider the exact definition of curse as well and then have a comparison between these two. Now about curse, this is an utterance of consigning a person or thing to spiritual and temporal evil. Now, this means to mark a person or thing with spiritual or temporal evil. Now, this is not important, I assume. We must have a true definition of the word curse in our age. And when we have a look at some of the lexicons of nowadays, they define the word curse as invocation of evil on someone. Now that we know the true definition of the word curse as well, we realize that the word curse cannot accurately reflect the word la'n in Arabic, which means to distance, banish, and expel. When we la'n, we actually pray to Allah for the banishment of someone from His mercy. But curse is totally different. Now, the last point in this episode to be discussed is that we have the word also la'n in the Holy Quran, since it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down of manifest proofs and guidance, after we have clarified it in the book for mankind, they shall be cursed by Allah, or better translated, they shall be away from Almighty Allah's mercy, and they shall be distanced by the ones who say la'n. In this verse, not only Allah curses them, and by curse we do not mean it's a literal meaning, not only Allah curses those who hide manifest proofs, but even those who are in harmony with the Divine Spirit. They are also known as la'inun, the cursing ones. We will discuss more about this part of Ziyaratul Ashura, God willing, in the next episodes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile...
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi...
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Mu'allim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is the teacher, an introduction to the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, scholars, and ulama. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Fakh Rouhani. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Dr. Farhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum and thank you.
At the very beginning of this program, I would like to express my condolences on behalf of myself and all the staff of Call of Islam page, IRIB English Radio, for the arrival of the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions. That's why I decided to dedicate this series of the program in the month of Muharram and Safar to the scholars whose one of works, at least, is about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And for today's discussion, we want to talk about Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir Qaini Mujtahid Birjandi, mainly also known as Muhammad Baqir Ayati and Muhaddis Birjandi, the author of the magnum opus Kibrit Ahmar fi Sharait al-Manba. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the biography of Muhammad Baqir Qaini Birjandi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, I would like to express my condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his loyal companions. Regarding Ayatollah Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Qaini Birjandi, we have to say that this outstanding sheikh is born to a religious family in one of the villages of Birjand, which is located in the east of Iran. Then when he was 12 years old, he goes to Qa'an, actually the the closest place for the studying near to their villages. And then from there, he moves to three religious cities, starting from Mashhad. Then till he is 20 years old, he stays in Mashhad. And then from then, he goes to Najaf, stays for a couple of years over there, benefiting from the great ulama, Mirza Habibullah Rashti.
Yes.
And also Marhum Akhund Khurasani. You know, to have the name of these great scholars as your teachers, it will express that where you are, I mean, how you have benefited from the knowledge of the great ulama of Islam. And then he moves to Samira. So we have a sheikh who has compiled the experiences and knowledge of the scholars of three main cities for Shias, namely Mashhad, Najaf, and also Samira. And when he was in Samira, he benefited from the founder of the seminary of Samira, Mirza Shirazi.
Mirza Shirazi, that's right.
Yes, and then okay. He comes.